Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 to 3, titled Babylon the Great is Fallen. This is part 2 of 2.
And just as you see these things unfold, folks, just think how evangelicals have been fooled into the idea of this just being some New Age thing, and the Roman Catholic Church is just another Christian denomination, and we all need to join together to fight. You know, just think about it. Think about how slick Satan is. Don't miss the twist. The fake Palestinian state is a ruse. A tool to be used by Vatican State to gain power and control over the Holy Land. There is no reason for there to be a Palestinian state. None at all. Those people who have been refugees are Jordanians and Egyptians, and they should have been sent home. But you can't kick them around as a political football if you do that. And the Vatican is using Palestine to get its own way. And look, folks, they're not pro-Muslim. They are doing exactly what the Palestinians and the Muslims, which they have done with groups all throughout its history, and that is get them in bed. And then as long as the Muslims will go along with the Pope's agenda, he'll use them for everything he can. And then you have Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, and 5 out of 6 of the Islamic army is defeated. You'll have a limping, decrepit form of Islam joining in and becoming what is known as Chrislam under the Pope. It's all coming about. Now what? Listen, if you listen to what I'm about to play for you closely, you'll hear this accusation that I just made confirmed.
The Vatican concluded its first treaty that formally recognizes the state of Palestine with an agreement on Catholic Church activities in areas controlled by the Palestinian Authority. The Vatican's deputy foreign minister said the agreement aims to enhance the life and activities of the Catholic Church and its recognition at the judicial level. The treaty will be officially signed by respective authorities, quote, in the near future. Vatican officials stress that although the agreement is significant, it is not the Holy See's first recognition of the state of Palestine, and it is already listed as the state of Palestine in our official yearbook.
Did you get all that? I mean, they already list Palestine as a state in the Vatican. The rest of the world isn't even doing that, except for a handful of Muslim countries. And he admitted that the reason they're doing it is for political and financial reasons. It's an amazing thing to watch. And don't miss her method that she's buying politicians. If you wonder why some politicians get elected and then they go up to Washington, D.C. and suddenly turn into just typical sellouts. Because they sold out. They've been bought. Says at the end of verse 3, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have what? Waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. That includes prostitutes. That includes drugs. That includes real estate. That includes property. It includes cash. It includes votes. The whore has a huge amount of goods and money to spend to buy people. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You wonder why politicians and preachers grow silent on the Vatican even as the prophetic evidence mounts. Chase the money trail. Amen. Money is evil. Give it to us. Amen. That's basically their message.
Yep.
And dissolving the American Union, no matter the cost, is on the Vatican agenda.
Right.
Amen.
I brought up the subject of what's going to happen after we take over the government. You know, we become responsible then for administrating, you know, 250 million people. And there was no answers. No one had given any thought to economics. How are you going to clothe and feed these people? The only thing that I could get was that they expected that the Cubans and the North Vietnamese and the Chinese and the Russians would all want to occupy different portions of the United States. They also believed that their immediate responsibility would be to protect against what they called the counter-revolution. And they felt that this counter-revolution could best be guarded against by creating and establishing re-education centers in the Southwest, where we would take all the people who needed to be re-educated into the new way of thinking and teach them how things were going to be. I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill. 25 million people. I want you to imagine sitting in a room with 25 people, most of which have graduate degrees from Columbia and other well-known educational centers, and hear them figuring out the logistics for the elimination of 25 million people. And they were dead serious.
That was from a video made in 1982. No place to hide. And they were, it's to show you, there are people sitting around talking about and planning for the destruction of America, and have no problem dissolving 25 million people. Just executing people. That's going on. It's been going on since before 1982. And I've mentioned before researching the Georgia Guidestones, where that was a monument set up to announce the agenda of the New World Order, which would include taking our population of about 7.5 billion when it was erected down to 500 million. Now just think about that. Now do you wonder why God will utterly destroy the horror? You say, why? Because if you look at all these terrorist groups, and this is a quick introduction for some of you. All of these terrorist groups, whether you go back to the Weather Underground and you come up to the Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all these terrorist groups, they have a connection to the CIA, and they have a connection to what used to be called the Soviet Union. And all of that, if you do your research, will find is tied into the Roman Catholic Vatican State.
Yeah.
And the Jesuits.
Yep.
Folks, when Antichrist takes over, it's not this wild thing that the evangelical teachers have been teaching and will be teaching. His seat is already there. It's in what's called the Holy See. It's in Vatican City. It's there. It's waiting for the right time. And while men have tried to push this agenda, God has always kept them from succeeding because it's not His time yet.
Yeah. Amen.
And once the rapture takes place, hands off. And that's the only thing that's kept these guys from succeeding in their plans that they've been planning for decades. Watch Ted Turner being interviewed by Charlie Rose, and some of these, Bill Gates being interviewed by TED, about vaccinations. And you just watch and read this stuff, and you find out these people love death.
Yeah.
All of them are pro-abortion. They look at you like cattle. As a matter of fact, they treat cattle better than they want to treat you. For more information, agenda, the grinding down of America. You'll find out if you do your research, listen to these studies, the Pope, Francis, is a communist. Plain and simple, he's communist. And communism didn't die, it just got a facelift, and it's called globalism. So as you do your research, every time you see Soviet Union or a communist country or communism, just think UN, United Nations. Look at this. We're going to come to a close here, but I just want to point this out to you. We're going to read in a few verses later in Revelation 18 a commandment to rejoice over the destruction. You know that video I showed you? All those people being crushed? Revelation 18, 20. Read it. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. All I can tell you is if that's a hard pill to swallow, then what's that the old Disney song, a spoonful of sugar? Well, all right. What's the spoonful of sugar here? Just do your research on Roman Catholicism, the history of the Roman Catholic Church, the history of the Spanish Inquisition, the history of the Crusades, the history of the popes, the history of the Roman Catholic priesthood, the history of the political corruption that Vatican City and Vatican State has inflicted upon the world, the death and the mayhem that has been caused by the Roman Catholic Church. When you think of the communists who were atheists, you're looking at people who were set up by Rome. You're looking at blood being shed, 20 million here, 40 million there, and Rome's got its fingers in all of it. Then you look at the history of the true church, Bible-believing Christians. It's a trail of blood. Yeah. And the trail of blood leads right back to Vatican City. Mm-hmm. And arose by any other name, Catholicism, communism, globalism, socialism. Just get in your mind when you read those, you're reading of one big evil family.
Yes. Amen.
And all these are in bed with this, the whore. Yep. And milquetoast Christians won't like heaven.
Maybe they can go to hell. Sure.
But I can't wait.
Amen.
Yeah, these milquetoast Christians, I used that word earlier, they're the ones that don't ever want to see things God's way. They've got their own ideas about God. They've got their own ideas about what's right and wrong. They've got their own ideas about what God is and how God should think and how God should act. And then if they would open up a King James Bible and read it, they'd be confronted with the fact that they have a fake God.
Amen.
And they need to get in touch with and fall in love with Amen. The holy God of the Bible. The real God. And that isn't happening, and that's why there's apostasy in the churches of America and around the world. Because they've made up a God in their own image instead of looking to the Scripture and saying, who is this God who has come and died for my sins? Who is this God who's so holy that He can't stand the sight of sin? He won't allow sin into heaven, so He created a place for the devil himself and for the angels to suffer in torment forever, and He has made a way so that no one else has to go there, and yet wicked, depraved human beings continue to reject that sacrifice provided for them, and they choose hell. Folks, keep your noses in the book. Keep your noses in the book, and listen to when you listen to teachers. Acts 17:11, and when you start hearing them compromise, and you start hearing them water things down, and you ever hear them correct the King James Bible, turn them off. None of us can afford that kind of corruption being fed to us in these days we live. And God has given us a perfect book. I'm not talking about the originals. I'm talking about the King James Bible. And you got a King James Bible, you got what you need.
As we end this study of Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 to 3, titled Babylon the Great is Fallen, we want to provide a little reminder as we close out part 2 of material that we covered nearly 3.5 years ago in our study of the church at Pergamos in Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 to 17, where we covered the biblical and historical material that proves that the priesthood of Babylon, coming from Nimrod through the Chaldeans of Nebuchadnezzar and into Pergamos after the fall of ancient Babylon, was then conferred onto the Caesars of the Roman Empire, only to then be passed on after Constantine to the popes and his priesthood in Rome, now occupying Vatican City. Please listen closely as we end this study with a 12-minute segment that is taken from the message that we taught from Revelation chapter 2 about the church at Pergamos. And again, this was nearly or a little over 3.5 years ago when we originally taught this. But it is important that you be reminded, or if you hadn't seen that message before, that you get this material at the end.
Have you heard of the
study
of
Revelation 18, 1 to 3, which is in Vatican City?
That's not just coincidence. That is directly connected. The seat of the Roman emperor worship was in Pergamos. When Antipas was martyred, he and the other Christians were martyred because they refused to worship the Holy Father in Pergamos. They refused to worship a man that was referred to as Pontifex Maximus. Those terms sound familiar? Every term I just shared with you, Holy See, Holy Father, Pontifex Maximus, they're all used of the Pope. And again, it's not just coincidence. Here's a scale model of what a clean, brand new Pergamos probably looked like. See how the theater was very close to where the offerings were made in this altar of Zeus up here. Here's the Colosseum and everything. So up here is where those sacrifices would be taking place. And that existed at the time the book that we're reading. Now, this is a kind of a lengthy quotation, but listen closely to what Clarence Larkin says here. He says, when Attalus, the pontiff, another term the Pope uses, and king of Pergamos, died in B.C. 133, he bequeathed the headship of the Babylonian priesthood to Rome. You see, we'll go through this in a moment, but it went from Nimrod to Babylon that we hear about Nebuchadnezzar. And when Belshazzar was defeated, they went to Pergamos, and from Pergamos to Rome. The same priesthood went from Nimrod to the Pope. Continue, it says, when the Etruscans came to Italy from Lydia, which is the region of Pergamos, they brought with them the Babylonian religion and rites. They set up a pontiff who was head of the priesthood. Later, the Romans accepted this pontiff as their civil ruler. You see, it's kind of like an antichrist successionism. Rome calls it apostolic successionism. They didn't succeed from Peter. This is their succession. And Julius Caesar was made pontiff of the Etruscan order in B.C. 74. In 63, he was made the supreme pontiff of the Babylonian order. Did you know that about Julius Caesar? Because they expunge it from your history books. The school textbooks are garbage. They will not tell you the truth. it continues, thus becoming heir to the rights and title of Attalus, pontiff of Pergamos, who had made Rome his heir by will. Thus, the first Roman emperor became the head of the Babylonian priesthood, and Rome the successor of Babylon. Folks, we're going to come to in Revelation 17, 18, we are going to see Mystery Babylon is in a city on seven hills. Rome. You will find very few evangelical and fundamentalist preachers, and I hope they're watching right now, who have a spine, who will teach this to their people. They don't have the guts. But that's the truth. Rome is Mystery Babylon. We continue. The emperors of Rome continued to exercise the office of supreme pontiff until AD 376. Now, those of you who know your history know that's getting real close to Constantine, ain't it? Yeah, it's a little after. When the emperor Gratian, for Christian reasons, refused it. So Constantine accepted it, and several after him accepted it, but this Gratian seems to be possibly a real Christian, and he wouldn't accept this pagan title. So, the bishop of the church at Rome, Damasus, was elected to the position. And there's the much marriage. And so he had been bishop 12 years, having been made bishop in AD 366 through the influence of monks of Mount Carmel, a college of Babylonian religion originally founded by the priests of Jezebel. This, folks, you look it up, it's all there. These monks in a college of Babylonian mystery religion founded by Jezebel installed Damasus as bishop of this already apostate church in Rome, and now he has accepted Pontifex Maximus and married together the Babylonian priesthood with the Roman church called Roman Catholicism. And the quote ends by saying in AD 378, the head of the Babylonian order became the ruler of the Roman church. There's the marriage. Thus, Satan united Rome and Babylon in one religious system. Soon after Damasus was made supreme pontiff, the rights of the Babylon began to come to the front. The worship of the Virgin Mary was set up in AD 381. So you have this marriage of Babylon, and they needed their own Semiramis, their own Ashtar, they need their own Diana, they need their own goddess. So they said, wait a minute, we could do that with Mary. And that's not the real Mary, by the way. I like that track as Mary is crying. Because in heaven, Mary is not happy with what they've done with her. Now, this is that seat of Satan, the altar of Zeus. It was brought into Germany and set up in Germany on what they call in Berlin, in a museum there in Berlin. And Kaiser Wilhelm referred to that as one of his proudest moments when he was officially responsible for setting that up. Now, watch this final clip we want to show about this altar and how it all comes together.
Ancient Pergamon, the center of pagan worship in Asia Minor, once known as the place where Satan dwells. In the first century, it was a thriving city. But after countless wars and natural disasters, the temples of Pergamon lay in ruins.
By the mid-19th century, the once great city of Pergamon was barely a memory. The locals were using the site as a quarry, looting the marble for new buildings. Until 1864, when a German engineer paid a visit.
Carl Humann was shocked by the destruction of the priceless artifacts. so he got permission to excavate the ancient city himself. And what he found was one of the greatest monuments in history, the Altar of Zeus.
Stone by stone, the altar was excavated and brought here to Berlin. And then it was reassembled and placed in its own museum.
The Pergamon Museum was finished in 1930, with the altar as its centerpiece. Eventually, it caught the eye of a young man named Albert Speer, the new chief architect for the Nazi Party. Adolf Hitler had commissioned him to design the parade grounds for the party rallies in Nuremberg. And for inspiration, Speer turned to the Pergamon altar.
Speer gives all the credit to Hitler. I think that he's like a good interior decorator that someone hires, and that client already has the ideas of what he wants to do, and the decorator agrees with him and just fulfills them. So that's what Speer did.
Using the altar as his model, Speer created a colossal grandstand at the rally grounds. It became known as the Zeppelin Tribune. After the war, only a small part of it was left standing.
In the middle of the grandstand, where the altar to Zeus stood in ancient Pergamon, Albert Speer built Hitler's podium. Hitler wanted to create what he called a mass experience, and Speer came up with the perfect idea.
Most of the Nuremberg rallies were held at night, so Speer surrounded the grandstand with 150 searchlights. The columns of light extended for miles in the sky, creating the mystical effect Hitler wanted. The concluding meeting in Nuremberg must be exactly as solemnly and ceremonially performed as a service of the Catholic Church. This effect was known as the Cathedral of Light, and it became a hallmark of Hitler's events. It was even used in the closing ceremonies of the 1936 Olympics in Berlin.
Hitler is very much aware of German mythology, and anytime you look at mythology and gods, you're looking skyward. So I don't think it's an accident that he says to Speer, let's create an environment of looking towards the heavens, and that's what it does.
Inside the rally grounds, thousands of Nazi party members marched in torchlight parades.
These events happen at night, which gives a contrasting effect of fear, of strength, of the unknown, of mystery, and that's all intended by him. He's very theatrical. Torchlight, fire, has always been part of even pre-Christian beliefs. So I think there's a kind of a quasi-mystical, semi-religious content to these torch parades. There's many of them in Nazi Germany.
From his podium, Hitler mesmerized the crowds. Not every one of you sees me, and I do not see every one of you, but I feel you, and you feel me. Then, under the Cathedral of Light, thousands of Germans swore what they called a holy oath. Blazing flames hold us together into eternity. No one shall take this faith from those who are dedicated to Germany.
You have Mystery Babylon, was founded by Nimrod around 1500 BC. The Mystery Priesthood then fled to Pergamos around 500. Then the Babylonian High Priest held ceremony transferring priesthood to the Roman Pontifex Maximus Constantine around 300. And then every pope since Constantine has held this Pontifex Maximus headship of the Babylonian priesthood to the present day.